Good morning. This meeting of the House Education Committee will now come to order. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019, and the time is 8:02 a.m. Members of House Education present are everyone. Co-chair Representative Andy Story, Representative Tiffany Zilkuski, Representative Chris Tuck, Representative Josh Rebeck, Representative Delana Johnson, Representative Grier Hopkins, and myself, Representative Harriet Drummond, co-chair. We have a quorum to conduct business, and before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone to silence their cell phones. Today, our recording secretary is Julia Bushman, and Madison Truitt is our LIO moderator, assisting with tech and teleconferencing support. Thank you both. Today on the agenda, we have the governor's appointments to the University of Alaska Board of Regents, followed by public testimony on House Bill 24, Limited Teacher Certificates Languages. We will begin with the Board of Regents. Both of whom are on the phone with us. Good morning. John Bania, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome, and put your name and any affiliation you have on the record, and talk to us for a little bit about why you want to be a member of the Board of Regents.
My name is John Bania. I'm really I'm not sure what you mean by affiliation. I don't have one. I'm just an independent fellow.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. Independent what?
Listen, I'm just an independent. I have no affiliation with any group whatsoever.
All right.
So I'll give you a brief introduction to myself. I'm sure you have my resume. You see that I've held a number of positions in education. I arrived in Alaska in 1983 in Kotzebue. I had $138 in my pocket, but more importantly, I had my college education and a job there at the time. I came to Alaska originally to improve myself and to have an adventure, and I'll be darned if I didn't do both. I had quite an adventure, and really, I'm still into that. I met my wife in Kotzebue, where we raised a child in the various villages in and around Kotzebue, and I'm proud to say that he grew up as a success. He's currently a physician here in Wrangell. So we've had quite an interesting life. More than most people in Alaska, I've been a gypsy here in the state. I've lived in Buckland, Deering, Shumnak, Kotzebue, Noatak, Homer, Soldotna, Kenai for a very brief time, and Wrangell. So I have a good perspective, probably better than most, on the viewpoints of people in various areas from all over the state of Alaska. I'm interested in serving on the Board of Regents because I, above all, know the importance of a great education, and I believe we need regents to respect the work that is done by the staff and students and faculty at the university. There are many great programs at the University of Alaska, the research programs perhaps are not as well known as they should be, but there is a great research facility also. What I hope to bring to the Board of Regents is a perspective also that many people with college education don't have. Ever since I was young, I worked in or with people in the trades. You'll see I have a master's in vocational technical education. I'm quite familiar with those fields of work, as well as those of a professional educator. I currently operate a finished carpentry business here in Wrangell because I have found that I am unable to retire. I've tried it three times without any success. And frankly, I've got all the business I can handle here. So I feel that with my experience living all over the state, my background in various fields, I bring the viewpoints and experience that most people don't have. Well, I'll be happy to answer any and all of your questions to the best of my ability to give you further insight into myself and my experience.
Thank you very much, Mr. Banya. I would like to open it up to questions from the committee. Representative Story.
Yes, and thank you, Mr. Banya, for your interest in education and your work over the years. I was wondering, from your experience with K-12, being superintendent, what do you see are the important links between the K-12 system and the university?
You know, I think there should be more contact between the K-12 system and the university in the area, especially of teacher education. I have found that I hired many, many teachers over the years. I really never kept track, but I'm sure it was, there were dozens and dozens, not only for schools where I was the principal or superintendent, but for schools around the Northwest Attleboro School District. One of the areas that really needs to be enhanced, in my opinion, is to make people more aware of what life is like in rural Alaska. There seems to be a great divide in my mind between urban and rural Alaska. People come to the bush really with very little knowledge of what it's like to live out there. I always told people when I hired them that it wasn't really a job, but it was an adventure, and it's a way of life because you're totally submersed in village life as well as your job as an educator. And I believe that there needs to be better cooperation to ensure that future educators know exactly what they're getting into when they go to work in rural Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. Banya. Representative Hopkins has a question for you.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Banya, for coming and talking with us by phone today. It's nice to hear your voice at the other end of a name, so I'm looking forward to seeing how your process, so thank you. You're being appointed to the education dedicated seat on the Board of Regents, correct?
Yes,
but
I believe all the seats of the Board of Regents have equal standing.
That's yep, that is correct. Where do you see the university in the next 20 years, and how do you see the specifics of your growing and retaining teachers in that next 20 years as well?
Are you talking about growing and retaining teachers in the K-12 system or at the university?
How do you see that the university can help retain and train more Alaskan teachers?
Okay. First of all, you know, one of the main roles of higher education is to contribute to sustainable economic and social development. And as each year goes by, I think the importance of that increases. Recruiting and I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that recruiting teachers has become more and more difficult over the years in places other than Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, Ketchikan, in other words, the larger towns. There's a definite difference between, in my opinion, between people now and in the past who came to work in rural Alaska. People came there for an adventure. They wanted to experience what I call, or what many people call, the real Alaska. I found that as time went on and I interviewed people, they were more interested in what amenities there were, whether there were restaurants, places to go on a Friday night, and so on and so forth. I'm going to go back to what I said in my introduction. I believe that there has to be better programs to make people aware of what life is like in rural Alaska. Secondly, if I were running a recruiting program, in some ways, I think I would run it in a way that the military has tried to increase their population by describing it as more of an adventure as well as a job. Because really, if you've ever spent any time in the bush, that's what it is. I think programs have to be brought into the high schools in Alaska to help recruit people in the field of education. And it's more difficult than ever also, in my opinion, to be a teacher. With the advent of Facebook and texting and cell phones and all of this, any little thing that occurs in the schools is immediately made public and made out to be perhaps at times overly serious than it really is. So a whole new recruiting system has to be set up, and there has to be programs that focus on what it's really like to be a teacher.
Thank you, Mr. Banya.
Quick follow-up.
Go ahead.
With a quick follow-up on that, how do you see as your position on the Board of Ed addressing the situation with the accreditation at the School of Education in Anchorage and trying to build those programs statewide as well? How do you see addressing that as your position on the Board of Regents, what's happened to the School of Ed in Anchorage?
Well, all things considered, including budget cutbacks that no doubt are coming, I initially, without sitting down with all the board members and coming to a decision as a group, I don't see any other way at the moment other than dealing with the teachers becoming accredited either through Fairbanks or Juno at the moment. Whether or not accreditation for the School of Education in Anchorage is going to be possible in the near future, but right now it's difficult to see that happening. I mean, that doesn't mean I couldn't possibly be persuaded to think differently, but at the moment I think the most prudent decision would be to have teachers receive their certification and the accreditation coming from Fairbanks, the University of Fairbanks or in Juneau.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Representative Hopkins. Additional questions from members? I have one, Mr. Banya. This is Representative Drummond. There has been, on and off over the years, a teacher mentorship program that was to help new young teachers, particularly in the bush, to help them to adapt to the culture. What has been your experience with this program, and what do you think should be the future of this program, considering your perspective on recruiting and retaining teachers?
A couple of summers ago, the Alaska Humanities Forum, or actually more than a couple of summers ago, the Alaska Humanities Forum was involved in a program with the Northwest Arctic School District in which they ran a culture camp, and I happened to be fortunate enough to be chosen to run that camp on the Kobuk River. We had, if I remember correctly, there were 22 new teachers there at the camp, and it was similar to a cultural immersion program for new teachers. We had many activities that involved the local people. Spent a lot of time on the Kobuk River participating in things normally that the local folks would do in the summertime. And I thought it was a great program. The teachers who participated in it loved it. It gave them a great introduction to life in the region. As far as the actual mentor program goes, that was operated at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. And once again, although in some areas it did not meet with great success, I think that it could be improved and should be continued because it was helpful not only to new teachers but also to new principals who suddenly found themselves coming from Texas or North Carolina, sitting in a rural village, basically barely knowing what the difference between up and down. So I think it's a great program. I think it needs improvement and should be continued.
Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate your perspective. Did you have any contact with any of those 20 or so new teachers that you met at the culture camp? And do you know, I know this is probably not, it's not part of your job, but just wondering if you kept in touch and if they all stayed in education or otherwise.
Actually, I wasn't required to do so, but just out of natural curiosity, I kept in contact with as many of them who wished to remain in contact with me, and we would email back and forth, and most of them returned for a second year. Many of them returned for a third year, and as far as I know, there are still a few of them that are working in rural Alaska.
Okay, that's great. Thank you for that for that little history. Representative Johnson, you have a question?
Yeah, I was wondering. It's kind of a question, and I answered part of it. But in your short time on the Board of Regents, have you thought about ways to improve the teacher preparation in Alaska?
You mean from an academic point of view or a recruiting point of view? What do you mean exactly?
Well, as you've been on the Board of Regents just a short period of time, but as you've been there, I would say more from the university's perspective and how the university can prepare teachers for Alaska.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to do, I spoke to Chancellor Sandine at the university in Anchorage, and I told her that since I hope to be confirmed as a regent, that when I'm in Anchorage, that I would be happy to meet with her and visit classrooms there, so I could give advice to the people who are training to be teachers in Alaska, answer their questions, and give them a real worldview perspective of what it's like. So, you know, I'm relatively new. I've only been to a couple of meetings, and really we've been inundated with budget talk, to be honest with you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
But I am willing to give some of my own time, when possible, to work with them in any way that I can.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Banya. Follow-up, Representative Johnson?
Thank you.
Representative Story has a question for you.
Yes, thank you. What is your vision or that the university should be focusing on as we go into the future?
My vision is to focus on its strength. You know, it's an excellent research facility. We need to continue that and expand it if possible. We need to look at all the programs and see where the major areas of interest lie and try and improve them. There are going to be some very difficult decisions that will have to be made if there are, in fact, severe budget cuts, to see which programs may or may not continue. But most of all, I believe that the university needs to delineate its areas of strength, focus on them, and make them even stronger. And not just by trying to recruit students from Alaska, but by attempting to recruit students from remote 48 or other countries.
Okay, Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Banya. In the last 5 years, since you looks like you retired out of the 10 school district in 2012. What is your experience with higher education, and specifically higher education in Alaska, and what ways have you interacted with it in the last 5 years?
My direct my life. I can't say that I've had direct interaction, but I've read up on it always. I've kept track of what's going on at the university if possible, in rural school districts throughout the state. Now and then I'll get phone calls from people who would ask questions, who are employed in school districts, who would ask me questions or for advice when dealing with areas that perhaps they will insure themselves. So I've had, indirect contact with higher education rather than actually being involved in it directly myself.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Representative Hopkins. Additional questions? Representative Hopkins, go ahead.
If anybody else has questions, feel free to ask.
All right.
Thank you. Mr. Banya, how do you see the Board of Regents' role playing into the Title IX issues that have been happening across the university system, and specifically at UAF?
That the necessary procedures are set up and followed to deal with them, and they should be dealt with professionally, lawfully, and prudently, and in a timely manner. Things should not be ignored, but take the bull by the horns and deal with it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Banya. This is Representative Drummond again. I have to say you are very lucky to have a child, to have raised a child in Alaska who is going to be a physician in the town where you're living right now. Do you have any experience with the WAMI program that Alaska has run successfully for many years, and are you aware of the governor's proposal to eliminate that program?
Yes, on both counts. I'm aware of the program because my son was interested in it at the time that he was prepared to do his pre-med work. He decided because he was such an excellent student and he had many offers around the country, he decided not to participate in it and ended up doing his pre-med work out of Alaska and then his residency at the Mayo Clinic. So I'm familiar with it in that we reviewed it, looked at it. Actually, we went to Anchorage. He was interviewed there. And the governor, I know the governor has put forth that program should be eliminated. Every state, especially rural states like Alaska, are in dire need of physicians. Those of us who are close to anyone in that field maybe realize it more than ever. So to have my son come back here as a practicing physician working for Search, really, it's a great benefit for the community, of course, and also for his mom and dad. So the program, the WAMI program, I feel is one of the university's strengths. And frankly, when it's all said and done, I would be surprised if it were eliminated.
Thank you. I hope you're right. Again, you're extremely lucky. I hear Wrangell is a very good place to retire, and you and your family are doing a great job of making it a good place to retire. Any additional questions from the committee for Mr. Banya this morning? Okay, seeing none, sir. I'm sorry, Mr. Hopkins. Representative Hopkins has one more question.
Thank you. I got lots of questions, so I'll try to pick one out here. So you were superintendent of the 10 city school district, which I believe currently has four teachers there. What experience do you have with addressing large-scale budgets and specifically with trying to find efficiencies in cutting large-scale budgets if those cuts are coming down the line, as you say?
When I was president of the been there for just maybe a couple of days, and the Commissioner of Education, who was Larry Ledoux at the time, called me from Juneau and asked me if we were going to have to close the doors of the school district since it appeared that it was on the verge of bankruptcy at the time. I asked him to give me, you know, to call me back in a few weeks or a few months, and let's see, you know, what might happen. It took me a few months to get the district back into the black, keeping the doors open, and it's thriving today. It's a small school district, and at one time, actually, when I was there, we explored consolidating with the Yukon-Koyukuk school district, but it seemed like there wasn't great interest from either school board in doing that at the time. When I was in Kotzebue as assistant superintendent, I dealt with a budget that was in the $40 million range, managing it and dealing with the usual problems that come with school districts and budgets, some cutting back, some consolidating of programs, and just general tightening up. So I feel like I do have experience, although of course on a smaller scale than what the governor is calling for, in dealing with budgets and related budgetary problems.
Okay, thank you, sir. Representative Zulkowski has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Banya. You've talked a lot this morning about your support for rural Alaska and education opportunities throughout rural Alaska. As this committee has heard, and other budget subcommittees in the building have heard, the cuts proposed in Governor Dunleavy's budget, particularly for the university, could have significant impact on the university's community campuses throughout the state. And I was hoping you could speak to your support and position on the presence of the university's community campuses that are all throughout rural Alaska.
First of all, I'd like to speak to the budget in general for just a minute, if you don't mind. You know, I think what everyone needs to keep in mind is that this is a budget proposal. I'm not one to panic or get overly excited. You know, if you were to read, like I do, the Anchorage Daily News every day, or listen to Alaska Radio, you would think it was the end of the world. But in fact, nothing yet is written in stone. So we really don't know what is going to happen with the budget until it's dealt with by the legislature, and then we see what happens with any line item vetoes that might occur. As far as the community campuses go, In the community that they're located, perhaps some more than others, these campuses are an important part of the community. A number of people attend classes there of one sort or another. So they're very important. Whether or not they'll all be able to remain in operation is a question. But I'm sure those that have great attendance, that are larger, would no doubt remain. I do understand and realize the importance of them in the communities where they are located.
Representative Zulkowski, follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Banya. In terms of a follow-up, I appreciate your perspective on recognizing that the governor's budget is merely a proposal, but there are, as you've mentioned, some post-legislative action in the context of vetoes that you'd mentioned that we need to consider. So in terms of a follow-up, what would your approach be if you were on the Board of Regents to ensure equitable access to university programs through community campuses if those budget cuts were enacted?
Well, if those budget cuts were enacted, I believe that the local school districts would have to play a role I don't recall the name of the act. It's many before my time in Alaska. But there was, I believe it was a Community Schools Act, which was supposed to make the local school districts and their buildings available for purposes of higher education. And if there was a community, for example, where that local campus was no longer viable or funded, the local school district buildings, through the use of online courses, would certainly play a role in continuing to allow or to enable people in those communities to obtain coursework in higher education. So I think there, you know, I think there are solutions if a community campus was no longer actually able to be in use.
Thank you, Mr. Banya. There are real issues that you will become aware of as a member of the Regents, of the Board of Regents, in terms of broadband access and equitable access among all of our communities. And I agree. I think local communities will have to pitch in, but the state has to encourage the linking of our communities through robust broadband services so that the kind of cooperation that you're talking about can actually be feasible. Right now, it's not feasible. Our school districts can't even participate in online teaching and learning from around the state because of lack of robust broadband in these small remote communities. So that will take a lot of thought and a lot of coordination among all the communities and all the ways that we provide services to them. Do I have any other questions for this candidate? All right, seeing none, Mr. Banya, thank you so much for your service to Alaska. You can stay on the line and listen in with Mr. Hargraves, or you're welcome to hang up. Thank you, sir. Mr. Hargraves, are you with us this morning? Yes, good morning. Welcome to the House Education Committee. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. I know you and I have met numerous times over the last several years when the superintendents have come to town. So please talk to us about why you'd like to serve on the Board of Regents. Charge of every
superintendent for 7 years there. That was quite a contrast to the history of that school district, which the average superintendent was there for 1.5 years. So there was one superintendent that had been there for 6 years back during World War II. He did his 6 years in 3 terms. So I set the all-time record for being superintendent at Nome. During that time, I recruited and hired 45% to 50% of the teachers who turned over every year. And the vast majority of those hires were by telephone. I subsequently went to Ketchikan and was superintendent there for 7 years. When I left Ketchikan, I started doing a series of consulting superintendents in 5 different school districts in the state. These 5 districts were having financial and personnel problems, and so they would have me to come in to spend some time trying to straighten up as a private consulting acting as their superintendent. So that was quite an experience. I went to places like Tolk, Delta Junction, Dillingham, Cake, and I said Tolk. So I pretty much got me around the state. I served for about 16 years on the local boundary commission. Most of that time was spent as chairman of the local boundary commission. That pretty much got me through the entire state. I think that I have been in hearings and done investigations in communities in every sector of the state except out through the Aleutians Pass Kodiak. So I've had quite a bit of an experience around the state. Some of my consulting work took me to many other communities up on the Yukon River. I spent time in Fort Yukon. And one of the things about my history in this state is that when I hear people discussing problems, teacher recruitment, other things at the University of Alaska, it's amazing how much of that conversation I heard in the early 70s. The WAMI program has been around since the early 70s. I did some of the paperwork to keep the WAMI in place and to set that up in its first few years. Discussions about different things today just echoes what happened back in the early 70s. One of the things I'd like to do on the Board of Regents is bring some of this stuff to conclusion, whether it's what is academic credit hour. We got into a discussion the other day listening to people at the university talking about that. We have a statewide system, but a credit hour in one place isn't the same as a credit hour in another. And the courses you can take Anthropology 101 in one place, and it's one course, you take it in another, and it's a totally different set of requirements. And this creates a problem when you try to transfer those from one place to another. So those discussions were being held in 1971, and it still hasn't been brought to a conclusion and standardized. So I'm interested in seeing if some of that stuff can't be taken care of. I think the university has a great importance to the state. It has a future. Somehow, coming onto the Board of Regents at this time, some of the biggest issues that the university has ever faced are taking place right now. Number one, that budget. Number two, the loss of accreditation to that Department of Education. But by way of thinking, the most important thing this university does is else in the academic teaching field, it's always had a history of preparing minors, engineers, some of them started out as freshmen. But what a terrible thing has happened to us with the loss of that accreditation. Quite frankly, on a personal level, somebody needed to be fired for letting that happen. There was somebody grossly negligent in letting that thing happen. It's my understanding that all of the people who were involved in that have passed on either by being fired or just leaving of their own accord. But that is a tragedy for lots of people. One of my positions has been to be sure that the students left in that system are made whole. And I think the administration has done everything possible to do that. One of the things they can do, of course, is to continue the accreditation from the Fairbanks campus, perhaps have an extension site from Fairbanks to teach teachers. But somehow we've got to get on top of that. The candidates for teachers certification in that program, I've been impressed with them. And when I looked at some of those young people with their enthusiasm and their desire to be teachers, I was comforted that they were headed to the classrooms across the state. But in any event, some of the biggest issues, the budget, and this accreditation has come up at this time, and I'm sure that's going to occupy us a lot. Have I said enough about my background and what I think about the university at this time?
Yes, sir. I think we'll proceed into the Q&A section by members of the committee. Do we have questions? Representative Hopkins, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Hargraves, for coming and speaking with us today. Similar question I asked Mr. Banya before, the other appointee for the Board of Regents. What is your experience with higher education in the last 5 years, and specifically, how have you interacted with the University of Alaska system in the last 5 years?
Hopkins, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Hargraves. Just on a clarification for that question, since there are no dates on your resume at all, about how many years ago did you take that teleconference class?
I think that was 5 years ago.
5 years ago?
One of the things about that was when I was with the university, one of the things I had in my division was the so-called correspondence study. Had about 900 students in that from around the world. Many of them were military. And it was a fantastic money maker for the university because about 3 or 4% of the students ever finished the class.
Representative Hopkins?
Yeah, thank you. You were, let's see, on another question that I specifically asked Mr. Banya before, how do you see the Title IX issues impacting the University of Alaska system, and how do you see the Board of Regents' role in addressing those Title IX issues? I'm sorry, can you repeat that last sentence?
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Yeah, I just missed what you said in the last sentence about how the administration is dealing with it. Can you repeat that? All right, thank you.
Okay. Any Representative Story?
Yes, thank you for your interest in serving in this role. I am wondering, particularly with your background as a superintendent, what do you see as the important links between the K-12 system and the university?
Representative Story, follow up.
Yes, our graduation rates are increasing in Alaska, which is good, and we're always looking to make sure that when our students come out of their high school experience, that they're ready for second, post-secondary, whatever they choose, college or their certification programs. One of the ways that can be effective is having the university teachers meeting with high school teachers to make sure that what is expected in high school fits in well with their college experience. Do you see that as something, those conversations, that's something you would advocate for? Do you think they're happening a lot already? How do you see that linkage between communication between professors and local teachers happening?
Well, you're correct that there always know there needs to be a lot more of it. I look at models back at universities in the fifth class, and they have their education professional staff assigned to kind of keep up with the local schools. They get to know the superintendent, get to know the members of the board, and they make regular visits to those sites. I think that more of that should be done by our university personnel.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Representative Story. Any additional questions for Mr. Hargraves? Representative Hopkins.
Thank you. The University of Alaska has a fairly hefty deferred maintenance backlog. How do you see your role in the Board of Regents addressing that deferred maintenance backlog? Thank you for that. And just a clarification on something you said a little while ago, early on in your comments. The credit transfers within the University of Alaska system, my understanding, are completely seamless now between the three campuses. That was what the President Johnson said at his State of the University just last week, that it's entirely seamless now. Is that not your understanding?
Representative Hopkins, follow up?
No, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Any additional questions for this candidate? All right, seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Hargraves. Appreciate your willingness to be of service to Alaska, and members do not have further comments, so thank you for participating today.
Madam Chair, could I say one other thing?
Absolutely, go ahead.
Think the amount of lands need to be increased, the full
All right, very good. I wish you luck. I know that's been a conversation for a long time. My biggest concern with land grant is unless the land is generating revenues through mineral resources or other actual use of the land, what happens if you sell the land? You can only sell it once. You can't sell it again. And when you sell the land and use it for tuition, you're going to have to continue to be selling land. So I wish you luck with that process, sir, and hope it can be worked out to the benefit of the university.
Sure thing.
Thank you, sir. All right. Representative Story.
The Education Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees to the University of Alaska Board of Regents and recommends that John Bania and Daryl Hargraves should be forwarded for consideration by the legislature. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
Okay, thank you, Representative Story. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. Back on the record. Now we can take public testimony on House Bill 24. I'm going to open public testimony. Is there anyone online who wishes to testify on House Bill 24? Seeing no one online, is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify? We got a whole lot of interest this morning. All right. Seeing no one wishing to testify, either online or in the room, I'm going to close public testimony. Is there any further discussion from committee members on House Bill 24 today? Representative Story.
Yes, I appreciated in our packets the article teaching the whole child language immersion and student achievement and just the experience highlighted of students who have been in a full immersion program with fluent speakers and doing well in their math, English, science studies. And so just appreciate it and wanted to draw that to people's attention if they.
All right.
So thank you.
Great. Any other comments at this time? Hearing none, I'm going to hold this bill until our next meeting and remind members that the amendment deadline for House Bill 24 is tomorrow, Thursday, April 4th at noon. The next House Education meeting is scheduled for Friday, April 5th, where we will hear House Bill 67, Department of Labor Technical Education Programs, and will continue on work on House Bill 24. And with that, we are adjourned at 9:04 a.m. Thank you.